When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snaps, it is the refreshing!
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studio.
Listen up, people!
On Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. Just a few tweets here. You guys are tired of hearing us talk about Drake with some of the callers. That's fine. So we'll move on and talk about Drake with Matt Velasquez, who joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Matt. Good to be back in the good old United States here. Hey, Matt. We've been talking about adjustments, Bart and I, throughout the maybe the last couple of days of what the Bucks should be doing differently. When Bud makes adjustments, we talked about the criticism they took with Atlanta. Is that a criticism of Bud where he doesn't make necessary adjustments in postseason play?
I think that's been something that in the past has followed him. In Atlanta, there were some things that he didn't do and didn't change. He's really, invested in the system and the scheme that he has, and believes that, over the course of a 7-game series, that's going to bear out. And I think that we saw in the Celtics series that he was willing to make adjustments. They lost game one. They were having issues with the defense, and they went to more switching. And they didn't exclusively switch, but they brought in a lot more switching than they had done throughout the season. They made that adjustment. They won game two. They rolled through the rest of the series. So obviously now they're going to have to figure out some things and see what they can do against the Raptors to turn this thing around starting in game five.
I look at their bench as like a bunch of different weapons. And, DJ Wilson can come in and do this, and Tony Snell could come in and do this, and Sterling Brown can do this, and we're seeing what Mirotić can do and what Connaughton can do. Would you maybe try to look at using some of those other weapons? Because I would like to see, you can't have Mirotić miss 37 of his last 45 3-point shots. But if you're a let it fly, if that's your thing and that's your system and you're stubborn with it, then I guess you just expect the other side to come around. But I would like to see Bud maybe tinker a little bit with the guys that he does use. Would you do that?
Yeah, I don't know. I think when you have a guy like Nikola Mirotić, he's not going to shoot that poorly forever, and you just kind of expect or hope that next game will be the game. And so it's not like he's taking a ton of bad shots. I mean, I think out of the 28 he's taken, a pretty decent number of them, I think 10, have been wide open, and he's only made two of those. So, you expect that if he gets those looks, more often than not, he's going to make them. And so I don't know if DJ Wilson or somebody else necessarily gives you a better shot. I don't know that Mirotić's defense has been that bad outside of game four, when I don't think it was very good. But I can't really name too many people who were very good in game four. So I think you kind of, dance with the girl you came with.
Well, see, that's what I said earlier in the show. And Bart and I have been arguing this last couple of days. See, I just can't. you know, oh, it's not working. Oh, they need to try something. They lost the last two games. You know,
if you're going to do an impression of me, do an impression of me.
Well, I'm not. I can't. I'm all about impersonations. I'm paraphrasing.
Do an impression of me.
I can't.
I got one of you.
Well, I just can't.
I'm just talking to this guy, and he thinks he knows everything about basketball. He doesn't know that I'm a professor. I won a state championship with Eau Claire Regis.
Now, you guys all say I want a state, adding a state championship to me. That just adds the
so old. So we're going to do a Bart.
I can't. But the point is, though, Velasquez, that, you know, I agree with you, man. I think certain guys on this team just got to play better, too. I mean, it's as simple as that, isn't it? Winning your matchups?
Yeah, I think that's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, they need to really perform better on defense, definitely compared to game four. Game three, I think the defense generally was okay. You know, when you go to double overtime and only give up 118 points, it's not like your defense was terrible. But game four, it was awful, and they just really weren't bringing it. And then on offense, I mean, they need to start making shots. You know, I wrote about it for the Journal Sentinel today that out of the 164 threes they've taken, 95 have been wide open. They're shooting 30% on those, which, you know, that's something you wouldn't expect from this team. I think they shot about 37% for the season on wide open threes. And you know, that's something that you would expect would change over time, that maybe getting back home at Pfizer Forum where guys are more comfortable, role players tend to play better in home games, that you can get a little bit more of that, and that in turn will start to open up the paint and give guys like Giannis and Bledsoe and George Hill a little bit more room to work inside. So I think being able to continue to manufacture really good looks, you know, at least in the Bucks' estimation, should be the thing that helps them the most.
Matt Velasquez, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, you're not required to use Drake as any part of this answer, but I do want to ask about the home court advantage. And it's good. I mean, that's what you play the regular season for, so the Bucks do have it in this now best of three series to see who can win two first. And it did look like, whether it was Giannis at the free throw line with the rabid crowd on him every time he was there, or whether it was interactions with certain, you know, guys on the sideline that thought they were assistant coaches, it did seem like the Bucks maybe, Matt, have been more rattled than I've seen them at any point this season.
Yeah, I think part of that too, especially in game four, just had to do with how poorly they were playing. I mean, they just were flat for a lot of the game, and it's really kind of inexplicable. Nobody in the locker room had a good answer for me. But it's just, you know, a game where the Raptors really took the wind out of their sails and just brought it at a much higher level. And when you're playing that poorly, and it's, you know, you can feel it and you know it, that things are going sideways like that, and then the crowd is on you, and, you know, international recording artists are on you, and, you know, it's just everything is kind of wearing you down, and you can see it in that third quarter. I mean, Chris Middleton got visibly frustrated, which doesn't usually happen. He usually holds it together pretty well. Guys were not in their best spot, and so I think coming back home will be a positive thing for them.
All right, and, you know, Giannis, this is on Giannis tonight. This is where superstars, I said this before game four, superstars got to take a team on their back, and superstars thrive in games like this. This is where you make your bones, and I think Giannis has got to realize that. I just, you know, you saw the same scene I saw the other night, Tuesday night, as we did after Sunday night's game, him in the locker room, just, you know, that blank stare after a game with all his media people standing in front of him. That was a little eerie, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean that's kind of how he is. Whenever they lose, you know, and the interesting thing is he didn't go to the podium. He hasn't gone to the podium after a Bucks loss all postseason. He didn't do it last postseason either. Maybe their first loss in Boston, but pretty much every loss, he doesn't go to the podium. That seems like his own personal choice. And then he kind of stews in the locker room, keeps his feet on ice, you know, maybe slightly longer than usual. You know, just kind of has that 1,000-yard stare. You know, that's kind of his process after a loss and the way that he kind of comes down from it. You know, it hurts him. You can see it just in his body language that, you know, losing just kind of gnaws at him and bothers him a lot. And so, you know, I would expect that he will bounce back today. I think that he had a pretty good game in game four. He got off to a really good start. and then slow down after that. But you know, he's going to need to find ways to get to the basket, to draw those double teams, to find his teammates, and they're going to need to pick him up by you know converting those assists.
Yesterday, Giannis and Eric Bledsoe both named first team all defense in the NBA. I mean, that is an incredible honor to not just have one, but two. Giannis, we figured there. Bledsoe is a nice surprise, but certainly deserved. Offensively, though, he has not been good. He's been the playoff Bledsoe we saw last year. And now as a long-term piece of this franchise, I know some people are worried about that a little bit. What does he need to do to turn it around? Or is he just not a playoff guy?
Well, I think, you know, so I had a vote in that, and I did vote for both of those guys first team. I thought that they definitely deserved it in terms of all defense recognition for what they've done all year. And maybe that that selection will give Eric Bledsoe a little bit more pep in his step, a little bit more confidence. Because I think right now that's what the issue is that he looks kind of shook out there. He's not comfortable when it comes to taking open shots. He hasn't been shooting it well. The paint is really clogged up, and so when he's driving in there, he's not always in control. He's trying to do stuff. You know, give him credit for that. He is trying to make things happen, but he's just not doing it in the same confident, strong, composed manner that he did in the regular season. I think there was, you know, a ton of points in the regular season where he was, you know, one of their best players. I remember at the All-Star break, there were fans who were upset that Chris Middleton made the All-Star team instead of him. I mean, this was this season. And so, you know, he really stepped up in a lot of fourth quarters, taking the pressure off Giannis by being able to drive and affect the defense and find guys on the outside. I mean, he's been doing it all season. The problem is that right now, with all the length that the Raptors have, he's not finding anything on the inside. They're sagging off him really hard. They're daring him to shoot. And he's been getting a lot of time. I think he shot 14 wide open threes and made one, which during the season he was like 33% on those. Figuring out how to regain that confidence could be the difference between the Bucks winning this series and not winning this series.
Well, Giannis has got to shoot better from the free throw line. The series can't be decided, among other things, Giannis missing shot after shot from the free throw line and just taking the wind out of the Bucks' sails.
Yeah, I mean, especially having those air balls that he did. When you have an air ball like that on the road,
mm-hmm. It's a killer.
They're gonna get on you. And you know, he's shooting 63% from the line this series. He's been pretty consistently, at least the past game, missing the first one, making the second, just never really getting into a rhythm. And obviously, like, he's taking a pretty big physical beating. You know, I think that shouldn't be overlooked. I mean, he's not just going to the line on ticky-tack fouls. He's going to the line. He's getting fouled hard. He's going down to the ground, and it takes a lot to, you know, to be able to compose yourself and make those. The positive thing for him is that he's been better on free throws at home. He went 9 of 12 in each of the first two games at Fiserv Forum against the Raptors. And then he went 8 of 17 on the road. So getting back home again should be a positive experience for him.
That's all we got for you, Matt, unless there's anything else you'd like to say about Drake to get off your chest.
I just wanted to say that you're the best. That's all I can say to you guys.
I like it, man. That's a great note to head us into Game 5. Does the winner of Game 5 win the series?
I think so.
Yeah,
Matt, you're the best I've ever had.
Oh, you're my everything. You're all I ever wanted, Bart.
We're doing Drake lyrics.
Okay, because you're losing me. You're losing me.
All right, Matt, we will talk to you. Well, we'll talk tonight. I'll be on the post-game show. We'll talk tonight.
Oh, it's going to be thrilling.
I know. Matt Velasquez is joining us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Check out Matt's work.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.